All right, brothers and sisters, this is, as I said, we'll move into the foolishness now. I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention to what just happened. Think back. All that Pat stood up here and with boldness, biblical authority said was the scriptures I quoted at the beginning. That's all he said. Because that's his unwiggable scriptures. You can't get out of that. It says you can't speak in church. You can't, and that's the end of it. It says it. Now, every other example that he gave was absolute pure foolishness. Amen. And made up.
Amen.
Now, number one, watch this. He says that nothing could be as clear as those passages of Scripture. Nothing. And if it is, he said, show me. Well, the Bible tells us that the Lord said in Luke 6:30, give to every man that asketh thee. Now, Pat possesses 90 acres of land thereabout, I suppose, in Huntsville. I had a debate down here with him one time before where he was contending this same thing. Now, you can't get no clearer than that. Give to every man that asketh thee. And I had three people in here write down on a piece of paper for him to give them 1 acre of land, and he refused to do so. The passage of Scripture in Matthew 5:29, Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. You don't get no clearer than that. He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. You don't get no clearer than that. Did you ever hear another apostle, another disciple, or another preacher in the entirety of the Bible quote those verses? Never did. So you heard Paul admit, as he spoke to a church, the rest say I and not the Lord. Now, the fact that Paul would speak outside of divine inspiration, hey, if the passage he's quoting is clear, that one's just as clear.
Right.
The rest I speak. The rest, not the Lord, but I speak.
Right.
You don't get no clearer than that.
Right.
So, this thing about these foolproof, wiggle-proof scriptures where he ain't going to give an acre of his land to someone here who asked him, he's not going to do it. He wouldn't sign the paper last time. He's not going to do it. Though the Scripture plainly says, with no wiggle room, if a man asks you, give. That's what it says.
Right.
Okay? Now, the only thing he's going to be able to do all night tonight is give you foolish examples, resorting to gun smoke and children being whipped in church for talking.
Right.
To back up his point once he gets away from these unwiggable Scriptures. Once he leaves that, he ain't got nowhere to go.
Right.
Because there is nowhere to go.
Right.
Because the rest of the Bible will not confirm what he's saying and will not support it. So he's got to turn to gun smoke instead of the revealed Word of God.
Come on.
Real simple. Now, first of all, we've got to understand this. Your illustration concerning a child. It is true that I was popped a time or two for speaking out or talking in church. I was. I was indeed. But I was never whipped for praising God in church.
Amen. Amen.
My mother and my father encouraged me to lift my voice in holy praise to God. So that is a very poor example. The second thing is that he uses gaze to illustrate the fact that women can't preach in church. Saying that the Bible makes it clear gaze can't do it. What has that got to do with this subject? The question would be this. Where, Pat, in the Bible, did God ever give a homosexual the gift of prophecy? Where in the Bible did God ever call a homosexual a prophet, as he did women? Where did God in the Bible ever call a homosexual a deaconess or a deacon? Where did in the Bible God ever call a homosexual an apostle? Never did. You're dealing with two complete different situations, and they cannot be applied to one another by no stretch of the imagination.
Amen.
He emphasized over and over and over and over that I said that after that particular verse where Paul said, not I, not the Lord, but I, he emphasized over and over, with emphasis, over and over and over again, that I was saying that the rest of the book was no good. It's on tape. I ain't said no such thing.
No. Right.
He just inserted into an argument something I didn't say. to defeat my argument of which I didn't bring.
That's right.
He then said that whatever Paul said applies to us. That it wasn't a personal issue taking place in this hellhole that I read to you, all of it. He said, if Paul said it, it applies to you. Well, no, it does not. The only way that Paul's rebuke to the fornicator at Corinth can apply to this church is if there's somebody in this church sleeping with their daddy's wife. Other than that, it don't apply. It's not a problem here. It would only be dealt with, it would only be discussed, it would only be dealt with by me if it was going on in here. Paul made it absolutely clear when he was speaking, and he made it absolutely clear when God was speaking.
Amen.
And when Paul said that a woman was not to preach or teach, Paul said, I do not allow it. Now, how many churches, Pat, did Paul have? We don't know. Three? Five? He started a few. We agree on that. Some says that Paul started 14 churches. I don't know if he started 14 churches or not. But we do know Paul started a few churches. And we do know most likely Paul started several churches. So whenever Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach or preach. And then when Paul spoke of commandments he gave with no scripture to support it whatsoever, and he said the churches, it would be reasonable and logical to assume that Paul was saying the churches of which I am an apostle, the ones I've started. Because the words of which Paul spoke is not found written by God, spoken by God, written by Jesus or spoken by Jesus. Angels sent women. Children can praise God in church.
Amen.
Women can praise God in church.
Amen.
The Bible says there's prophecies, prophesiers. That's one of the nine gifts.
Amen.
It's to be used in the church for the edification of the church.
Amen.
Paul was dealing with a local problem. That's the only thing that can possibly make sense. He was dealing with a local problem. He talks about, Paul didn't have to say, the Lord said it. Anything Paul said, and anything written by a man of God, spoke by a man of God in the Bible, has to be the inspired word of God. He didn't have to say, God told me. All he's got to do is say, I said it, and I'm inspired of the Holy Ghost. Sound more like a pope to me.
Amen.
The joker's infallible, and just a man, and tomorrow he becomes the pope, and boom, he's infallible. Now, when the Bible said that God and the Holy Ghost would guide us into all truth,
yes,
he did not say, nor did he teach, nor intend that you believe that once you got saved, you instantly become infallible. You was guided.
Right.
I'm being guided into all truth.
Right.
You know why I'm being guided? Because there's stuff I got to go around. And you hit it sometime, Pat,
Amen.
And I hit it sometime.
Amen.
Now, what we got then is inspiration. You have a situation in the book of Acts where Paul and Barnabas was fixing to go on a missionary journey together. And Barnabas says to Paul, let's take John Mark with us. But John Mark had left them at one point. Turned back and went home to mama. The apostle Paul stood up and said, no, he ain't going with us. Was that inspired of God? And the Bible said the contention that grew between Barnabas and Paul was so strong that they split and went in different directions.
Amen.
Was that inspired of God?
No.
Simon Peter looking at the Lord Jesus and saying, I rebuke you. Was that inspired of God? No, no, no. Jesus said the devil just spoke through you.
Right.
Those are simple facts, brothers and sisters. I ain't relying on gun smoke.
Nope.
Or tales of us being in the church and my baby can't talk. What I'm telling you is pure scriptures of which he cannot get around. The only thing you can hear Pat do the rest of the night is either make foolish arguments, as he's already made, insert things that I said that I did not say in order to attack them. That's all you're going to hear. Because once he gets off of his wiggle room, no wiggle room scriptures, he don't have anything to defend it on. Which means that what he's saying is doctrine. is not supported by the entirety of God's Word. And when you apply the God's Word to it, common sense to it, scriptures to back it up, you can't find them because they're not there. And the only source of which he can go to back his point up that ain't biblical is gun smoke. Okay? I spoke of Phoebe. He inserted for me that I was insinuating that Phoebe was some kind of a pastor or some kind of a leader. I said no such of a thing. I didn't say she was anything. I said exactly what the scripture said. I said Paul sent men to a woman and said, whatever she tells you to do, do it. Was those men under that woman's authority? Was that woman telling them what to do? The answer is no, they wasn't under her authority. They was under Paul's authority. Paul sent them and said, whatever she tells you to do, do. So Paul didn't object to women telling men what to do. And that wasn't lording over or being the boss or ruling a man. They was under the authority of the man that sent them. And Paul had no problem with it whatsoever. But he had a problem with the women at Corinth talking. You know why? Because these people could not even go and partake of the Lord's Supper without messing it up. Amen. And I would imagine, as he talked to the men there, he said, look, he said, when y'all all come together, don't all of you speak in tongues, for God's sake. He had to tell these every, do this, don't do that. Don't do this, do that. Bring the hammer. Now go back and get the nail. He had to tell them every step. Look, whenever y'all all together and you're speaking in tongues, don't do it all at the same time. Because if you do and somebody walks in off the street, Paul said they're going to think you're mad. They're going to think you're crazy. He said, when you prophesy, don't all of y'all sit here and prophesy at the same time. One of you prophesy, the other two of you shut up. They had to be told everything. Then when they come together for the Lord's Supper, they're drunk, messing it up every which way to Sunday, defiling the Lord's Supper. And what does he tell them? He says, I want you to be quiet. I want you to be quiet in the churches. I want you to be quiet in the churches. Common sense tells you with no scriptural evidence whatsoever. Will God use a woman? How much time I got?
7 minutes.
Will God use a woman? On Deborah. Concerning Deborah. Listen to what Pat says. And he said it just a second ago, but this is him on the debate. Watch this. Talking about Deborah. Okay, she was not in authority over the man, Pat says. All she did was relayed a message to men and guided men, of course, by God. She was the prophetess. The Bible never says she went to war. But she was the spiritual leader of that king. She was the spiritual guide of that king, and her simply relaying messages from God to him. Pat said, did not make her be in authority over that man. So then the question would be, since God gives the gift of prophecy to women, says so, why then in the New Testament, where we have more liberty than we did in the Old Testament, if Deborah was not ruling over and being Lord over a man in the Old Testament, but directing him in the things of the Lord, because as you said, he was not doing what he's supposed to do, then why in the world in the church would a woman who was dealing with a man that ain't doing what he's supposed to do not be able to relay a message from God to that man, and her not be exercising authority over him, is what he just said. So relaying a message from God to a man, Pat says, is not exercising control, therefore not breaking the law of a woman being in submission. He said that out of his own mouth. So, once you look at it, there's only one logical explanation, and it is what was clearly given. The church at Corinth was a hellhole. They could not do anything right. And Paul clearly said, this I'm saying, I got scriptures. This I'm telling you, I don't. This I'm telling you, this is from the Lord. This I'm telling you is not from the Lord. You just don't get any clearer than this. So, if God called women to minister to men, if God and Jesus sent women to minister to apostles and disciples and give them instructions, why then would God not do it in His church whenever He says this? God said that there is no difference in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Now, how can it be possible that we can all be one in Jesus? But when the works of His body is manifested through the gifts of the Spirit, we be different. How can the Bible tell us in Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God? Now, those are as clear as the scriptures he was talking about was unwickable or, you know, couldn't be changed. How in the world could God, and this be said pertaining to the Lord under divine inspiration, that there is no respect of persons with God? Is a woman a person? She's already, Pat's already equalized all of y'all to homosexuals. Is a woman a person? Then she's one. Is a woman a person? Does God have respect of persons? Pat says that in this building right now, that any one of you women could be in here teaching women. You could do that. But if a man walks in the room, you have to shut up, quit talking, and sit down because a man walked in the room. Now, how can you possibly say that God has no respecter, is no respecter of persons, if I have the right to speak until you show up? That's impossible. That's impossible for that passage of Scripture to be the truth. If I have to shut up just because you showed up. Does women prophesy? Do they preach? Are they sent of the Lord? Was they sent of God to spiritually guide and lead men? He says, pertaining to Deborah, it was to do nothing but to reveal the Word of God to them. Pat, what do you think a church service is? I don't know what you do at your church. What we do here is we reveal the Word of God.
Okay.
And we praise and we worship and we're here to reveal the Word of God. And for me to assume that since God has given women the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which you won't show any place in the Bible that the women can't get the 9 gifts of the Spirit. God would certainly be a respecter of persons if He gave the 9 spirits from one of them to me with gifts and didn't give a gift to a woman.
That's right.
He would be a respecter of persons.
Right.
Therefore, this clear passage of Scripture has to be done away with.
That's right.
So if God speaks to me by a woman in this church, and it is God's Word. It's God's Word. It is the purpose of a church gathering together to reveal God's Word. And if Deborah was assigned by God to reveal His Word, and don't go to the Old Testament stuff. He wants to link circumcision and everything. You go back into the Old Testament, you got to link the whole ball of wax. It all comes back. You sacrificing to animals and cows and goats? No, you're not. If I say to you, Pat, thou shalt not steal, is that New Testament? Where did it come from? From the Old Testament. So if we practice thou shalt not steal, we're not going back to circumcision. We're going back to the Ten Commandments. That's Exodus. If I say have no other gods before me, if I teach that, I'm going back to Exodus. I'm not bringing up circumcision and killing goats and bulls. If I say thou shalt not commit adultery, I'm not going back to the Old Testament, pulling up circumcision, goats and bulls.
No.